I have known from the beginning that it had to be God because it's absolutely, totally, completely different from me. What good words we've had already. Judy, as you were sharing about the tears and about the patching of the tears and stuff, and I'm reminded of, you know, when a person is going to patch something, they look at it to figure out what's going to patch it best. You know, yesterday my mom's roof was leaking, and I've been meaning to be up there often, but, well, you have to get the ladder, and then you have to get up on the ladder, and then you have to look, and I, every time she was putting buckets down, I thought, well, I probably better look. And I got up and I looked yesterday. Oh, my. I should have looked a long time ago. But it, having once looked at it and realizing, you know, what it needed, it became very important to get it patched. Realizing that I didn't have the time to patch it perfectly, it was still important to get something up there to slow down the water flow. And so I got whatever was necessary at the time, and I will fix it better. But part of the thing of patching something is to recognize that it needs patching. And then once finally looking at it, finding out how badly it needed patching, it was funny. Somebody looking at it would say, how could you have let it go on so long? Well, it was easy. I never looked at it. Just thought maybe it would take care of itself, you know. And then a picture came to me of Vicky came up with a thing of patching. She found some shiny material and patched like holes in the expensive jeans that have holes in them and, you know, and put a shiny patch behind it. Made it look, you know, very nice. The hole was still there, but the shiny part shined through. That's important that the shiny part shines through. We need to realize that we were torn, and without God, we were messes. And if we don't recognize that we were messes, then we will never, ever acknowledge that we needed something else to shine through. And when we are in our walk with God, we need to recognize sometimes that we got holes that need some God to shine through. We need to recognize these things. And the blessings, and Wayne, taking it personally. That was the thing that spoke out to me, you know. Hey, people, let's be honest about this. We take things personally that we shouldn't. You know, we take it way personally. And if we're going to take something personally, let's take personally what Jesus did. Take it personally. I take it personally that he was wounded for my transgressions. And if I take it personally, then I should be thankful that he was wounded for that and that those are forgiven. I should take it personally that by his stripes I was healed. Amen. I mean, take it personal. Then we should become adamant about binding up the devil and loosing the truth. And we should look at, you know, what is the problem? What is the problem? You know, I want to give you the assurance I don't have any lust. I had more than enough lust for the first 30 years of my life. I had hybrid lust. I had absolute, developed a great, great ability to lust, but the Lord changed that and said, you can look and not lust. That's an amazing thing, to be able to behold the beauty of God and not have any other attitudes about it. I just don't have it. But I do know that those spirits are out there, and I know that they will oftentimes try to do things. And I also know that if people don't pray for me, and if I don't pray for people, that then that door just becomes wide open for that. We certainly do recognize that some have come in here, been built up and gone out, and there's ministries around because of it. And some have come in and got outside of that protection, and well, the enemy goes after them. But that doesn't release us from saying, hey, Lord, help them. Put them somewhere where God can minister to them. whatever. But see, the important thing is that people have God. But we need to recognize that every person chooses their own course. It doesn't matter what the devil does. He's defeated. You know? He's defeated. But I think that falls then into looking at, you know, what Bernie said about, you know, we've got this calling, each of us on our lives. And taking that personally, we declare those things that the Word of God says. Someone put a comment on a Facebook the other day. It was a long time ago. I don't know how long ago. But anyway, you know, the thing about you know, if you want to prosper from the Word of God, you're not doing something right. Basically, was what they intended to say. And I thought, how stupid can you be and still breathe? I'm sorry. But if the Word of God, which makes one rich, is not then used to prosper us and make us whole. But see, what this person was referring to, that ministers shouldn't. Well, then if that's how they feel, they should give away everything that they have and live in a street somewhere. Because we can't help. I can't help anybody. You can't help anybody if you don't have something to help them with. I don't particularly like to declare to somebody, and I can't. I can't say to somebody, I can't help you. I may not be able to help them to the degree that they would like to be helped. But I got something to help them with. Because of God. And I want more to help them with. From God. But again, if we are blinded to the truth of God's Word, or if we were so wrapped up in our own circumstances or so willing to blame other people. Oh man, people like to blame other people. And I grant you, I know that the pastor gets a lot of blame. And I have to tell you, I don't care. It really does not bother me to be blamed. I just don't care. I care, but I don't care. You can blame me if you want to. But it ain't my fault as long as I'm putting out the Word of God. The question is, what kind of soil am I putting it out on? I can't do anything about the soil. The only soil that I can do anything about is my own. Okay, I am not a farmer. But I've been around enough farmers, I know a little bit about what they do. I know this, no farmer wants anybody else coming to anything with their ground without their permission. I also know this, that there are oftentimes some pretty big beefs out in the country about somebody's plans for their ground, overspraying their ground. Because we don't mess with each other's ground. It's our ground. And yet, when it comes to spiritual life, we can be real guilty of neglecting our soil. And not realizing that our soil is our soil. And that we can develop it or we cannot bother to develop it. Okay, as a pastor, I need to develop my soil. I need to make sure that my soil is receiving what God gives to me. It's necessary. And it's necessary that I take the time to ask God to give me something. And not just expect Him to pour it in. There have been a multitude of times over the 27 or so years where I have said, God, forgive me. It just doesn't seem like I'm doing anything for you to pour it in. I'm just pouring out what you've put in before, you know. And sometimes He says, yeah, I'll cover for you. And sometimes He says, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? And what about this? And points out to me that in fact I was drawing from Him. I just wasn't drawing from Him in the way that I expected it to be right. Because sometimes we can have what we think. To think that I'm only going to receive from God if I'm on my knees wailing and whining here at the altar, well, that's not quite right. But to think that I can't receive from God there, that's not right either. It's what the Lord desires. Soil is soil when it comes to soil. Wasn't that profound when you read that in the devotion? That really got you thinking, didn't it? But it's true. Soil is soil. Soil was put here, made by God, and it's where it is. You can enhance the soil. You can fertilize the soil. You can work the soil. You can do things to try to improve the production of the soil. But when it all comes right back down to it, when it comes to dirt, dirt's dirt. And where the dirt is, that's where it is. You can't take 1,000 acres from South Dakota, move it to Louisiana, and make it into Louisiana soil. It just isn't going to happen. You can't bring the sands of Nebraska up to South Dakota. They aren't going to turn into South Dakota soil. You aren't going to change gumbo into good ground, but maybe you can figure out something you can grow in gumbo. I mean, they can do that, but the soil is the soil. God made it. And He made it perfect. And, you know, now with technological advances and research and things like that, you know, they test the soil. Farmers test their soil to see what their soil needs, what it's lacking to grow what they want to grow. And the seed people work with seeds and work with seeds so they can grow seeds in different places and that they can grow them in shorter times and they can do this and that and they can do all of that. I mean, they go to extremes to produce a harvest. And people think that that is pretty smart, don't they? I mean, in this day and age, you'd be crazy not to do or not to take advantage of what there is to produce the best harvest. It would be silly. And yet, in the spiritual realm, people think that you might go to extremes to develop your soil for the kingdom of God. Well, that's only because they don't understand the importance of the kingdom of God. I tell you that the rate and the effort that we put into developing our spiritual soil runs at a perfect parallel to our understanding of the benefits of it. If we don't see a benefit, then we won't bother with it. If we don't bother with it, we won't see a benefit. Then if we don't see a benefit, we're liable to blame somebody else. I will grant you that you can get misinformation on the gospel. You can get uninformation. You know, some people are not getting the information. But we can always get all the information that we need because we have the Word of God. But do we have soil that even wants something of the Word of God? I spent 30 years with no desire whatsoever for information on the Word of God. None. I did not go to church to get anything, and I didn't go to church much to give anything. I went to church. Now, I didn't know that at the time, but I can look back and I can say to you that that's basically what it was. There were times when I went because I didn't like what I got up feeling like, and I thought I would get something, but I didn't get anything. And so then one day, I got something. And suddenly, because I got something, I became interested in developing soil. Now, I did not know that I was developing soil, but I knew that I needed something. And because I knew that I needed something, then I became soil that could receive something. And I couldn't survive with just a little something. I wanted all the something I could get. I did not know. I didn't have understanding then that I was going to be, I was interested in producing a harvest. I was wanting information to find the means of escape was what I wanted. But even though I didn't know for sure what I was looking for, I was getting more than I bargained for. I think that with God, that's just the way it is. You'll get more than you bargained for. You'll get better than you ever imagined. Because really, that's what the Word says. Man, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined. But that desire moved out that rocky soil. An increased desire removed weeds. An increased desire removed clutter. And more desire could produce ground that could produce a harvest. Unbeknownst, like the farmer who puts out the seed and has no idea how it grows. So a lot of growth happens when we have no idea how it grows, but there comes a time when we need to grow up and realize what we can do to make it grow. To understand there's some soil development. Not tricks, means, but in order to develop soil, we have to have a desire to do it. And so when it comes to spiritual things, our soil is not just soil. It's not just such as some doctrine would like to say that, well, you know, you're the soil that you are and you just got to go with what you got. Which, of course, leads them to the thing about either I was meant to be saved or I wasn't. And if I was meant to be saved, then God will save me. And if I'm saved, then I'm always saved. It doesn't really make any difference. That's soil that's rocky, cluttered, squeezed, and never going to produce anything. And it takes a lot of faith to believe that that's going to make heaven. But we can hope. Thankful. We're thankful. We don't have to make that judgment, do we? But we do have to look at ourselves. We have to look at ourselves. We have to decide. A farmer needs to decide, are they doing everything for their farm to make their farm produce? Are they picking the right crops for the right place? Are they putting it in right? Are they planting the right seed? Are they doing this and doing that? And you know, so that they can say that they've done everything they can do and now it really is up to God. But so many times Christians don't consider that for their own harvest. And Christians will sometimes try to blame somebody else for their problems. Christians shouldn't be caught up in a blame game. David boiled everything down and finally said, it was against you and you only that I sinned, God. Paul once said, get him out. Let the devil have their way with them so that their soul might be saved in the end. If you're going to serve the devil, you shouldn't serve the devil in church. It's going to make you ugly and everybody else think you're ugly. Sorry, that's just a fact. You can't serve two masters. And so there are some times when people are determined to just go their own way and they just go their own way. But like the father of the prodigal son, just love him. Because if you take it personal, it'll make you mad. Or it'll make you think you should have done something. Or it'll make you think somebody else should have done something. But the bottom line is, we are our own. Each one makes their own decision. Now, believe me, I remember the day I was at the state fair and ran into my old pastor from when I was in college. And he said, well, I see in the paper, because there have been one of those articles in the paper, I see in the paper that your life has turned around. And I said to him, yeah, after I finally heard the truth, it did turn my life around. And he said, well, you know what? Did you want me to just to tell you were going to hell? I said, well, it would have been helpful. It would have been better than saying, go have some coffee before you sing. It would have been better than giving me the reports of things that I didn't even remember because somebody had already reported to you and you still let me sing in your church. And I did. I'll be honest with you. For a time, I thought, they were going to just let me go to hell. It wasn't their fault. I guess. I can't blame them. How in the world would they have told me something like that? I mean, after all, I was a god unto myself. I was handling everything pretty well. I only made one mistake, and that was being willing to try to sing once for the early service on a Saturday. That was not a good plan. On a Sunday, I mean. That was not a good plan. Because I wasn't going to interrupt my Saturday nights to sing in church on Sunday morning. I never sang for an early service again after that. Now, a smart person would have quit their Saturday nights so that they could have sung for the early service, but it wasn't really that important to me, although I did enjoy it. There was something I liked about singing in church. I got a good feeling about it. Probably I just told myself that it made me okay. But I think even then I sort of knew I wasn't okay. But anyway, when a seed managed to get in that convicted me, then I began to do soil development, not knowing that I was developing soil. But now, many years later, I come to understand the importance of developing soil. And depending on what your soil is like, you'll receive the word or you won't. Depending upon what kind of soil you have, it doesn't matter if it's from me or if it's from a dog barking, you're going to either receive what God has for you or you're not. What we need to do is develop soil that will grow anything that is from God. Anything and everything that is from God. We don't have any excuse for being, as a Christian, not a churchgoer, a Christian. We have no excuse for being ignorant of the importance of developing our soil. And we certainly don't want to, you know, pass off or try to excuse the fact that some people just don't bother to develop their soil. Nor the fact that, listen, folks, we have watched people who were high for Jesus, who moved rocks into their field. I don't know why. It's not the devil's fault. He can only suggest, but he can't do it. Because he's been stripped of his power. He just hasn't been stripped of his ability to be a nuisance. And he is a nuisance. And we can make a declaration. You know, I said this morning, I said, you know, you want to make the devil sick? Just praise the Lord. Just get some understanding and worship him. Worship the Lord and you make the devil sick. Sick as can be. Yes, I know. Sometimes those calendars are not good deals. You know, but it's a good thing to do. We should be determined to make him sick. So we pray. So we trust. So we keep standing. So we keep developing. So we keep casting down those imaginations or those things that try to soothe us into thinking that, you know, your soil's good enough. Folks, our soil is never good enough. Because it can always produce more. If it was possible that everything was just good enough, well then all the research places that do the seed, they'd quit, right? I mean, in the natural, they put out test plots with big signs on it to say we're testing. Well, in the spiritual, they put up signs that say healing service to see if anybody wants to be healed. Now, if I put on our sign, do you want to be healed? Stop in. That would be good, won't it? If we were to just estimate, which do you think we'd get the most of as people drove by? Great or, man, that's arrogant. But who cares about those that would think it's arrogant? We would care about those who think it's right, right? Well, Vicki shared and we all prayed about him. We say, you know, there's a few of us here. I want to tell you, and this is not putting responsibility on you, okay? But this is just encouraging you of what a strong foundation you are. Because you now are not only holding up this, but you're holding up a minimum of 8 churches in Kenya. The foundation is good enough that they wanted to put themselves on top of that foundation. I said, well, yeah, sure, they want you to send them money. No, they want to have a United States connection. Because they like what they found. Now, that means that we have to develop our soil. That means that we have to be able to receive that as what it is, as a gift from God. That we have to look at that and say, wow, God thinks that much of us. What an awesome privilege that God has that confidence. If God has that confidence, wow, that's cool. It's not arrogant to say, wow, God has blessed us with that. That is just, man, how does God do what God does? It doesn't have to make sense in the natural realm because we get our sense from the spiritual realm. But we have to recognize, in order to recognize whether there's a deficiency in the soil, we have to test the soil. And only we can test our own soil. Don't go testing other people's soil. You know? Don't sit there and go, yeah, the pastor's soil could use a little help, you know. Maybe it could, but Bob and Levon are praying for that, so don't worry about it. Worry about your own soil. How's your soil? How's your attitude? How's your mouth? How's your actions? How are you? Amen. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. I'm telling you, get set free from blaming other people. Get set free to receive the Word of God and graft it. Get hungry to have soil that says, man, whatever it takes, my soil is going to produce the harvest that God intends. Whatever. Because I can develop good soil. You see, if we take the parable of the sower, Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? If you can't understand about soil, okay, don't just write it off and say, well, guess I'm rocky soil. Well, I can't help it if weeds grow up. Not my fault that weeds grow up. If that pastor did better, I wouldn't have so many weeds. Hello? Well, I can't help it. I got so much going on in my life. I got so many things to distract me. If he had the cares I did, he wouldn't expect me to just take the Word of God and trust it. Well, you know, you might get somebody to say, boy, you know you're right. Yeah, I agree with you. I never did like him. Kids run amok. Hey, we had one that thought it was just awful that my wife wore makeup. It was a long time ago. But she was the only one that couldn't wear it. I suggested that perhaps he had a lust problem. Of course, they aren't here now. But that's okay. You got to blame it on somebody else? Talk to somebody else. Because I'm just not going to play the blame game. And you shouldn't either. You can have as good a soil as you want. And you can make that soil shine right through the holes. Yeah, don't forget you got holes. That's the beauty of the nice patch shining through. There are still people all over the United States that knew me in college that still think this is not possible. And will still, to this day, say they don't necessarily believe that it's true. But if I just get a chance to be with them, I'll tell them, oh, believe me, I know. I know only too well why it seems impossible. But let me tell you, all things are possible with God. And you need that light shining on your darkness as well. Because He's an awesome God. And if you don't know all that God has for you, if you don't know all that He has for you, find out. Because when we know all that God has for us, we become serious about the kingdom of God. And we become well aware that, you know what? It's a good thing. It is a good thing to have good soil. It's a good thing to take every word of God and let it dwell in us richly and produce a harvest. In fact, I won't settle for anything less. I've got to have the most production that I can possibly get. And we can increase our production. We can increase our harvest. It's possible. And we increase that harvest, and in so doing, we advance the kingdom of God. And that's the goal, or should be the goal, of our lives as Christians, to advance the kingdom of God. We agreed, I believe. Anyway, nobody told me, shut up, stupid. We agreed a long time ago that this place was not brought about to build a megachurch, but it was brought about to declare the good news of the gospel and to have an effect on this community. And I believe that we've put out the good news of the gospel, and I believe that we've had an effect on this community. The good news affects good and bad. Some reject the message. Some love the message. But one thing we didn't consider, and I never considered us having Kenya missions. And I never considered us having Russia missions. I never thought about that. I just thought about how good God is, and everybody needed to know God. And that should still be our desire, that everybody know God. The restoration restores people to fellowship with God. So we pray that God would restore everyone to fellowship with God, that everyone everywhere might know the goodness of God in the land of the living, that everyone might know what is that perfect, acceptable will of God? That we might know that all things, all good and perfect gifts come from God, and that we can claim and we can declare and we can desire all of those gifts. You know, it said, if anyone is gifted to teach, then teach. And those who don't think you're gifted to teach, when it's time to teach, say, God, give me the gift to teach or to help. Or whatever. Because the gifts of God are given at the direction of the Holy Spirit. And don't you think that if you desire the gift, that the Holy Spirit wouldn't give you the gift for the benefit of someone else? To become the kind of soil that says, the word is for me. It's all for me. It's all good. It's all perfect. It's all able to teach me. Lord, I'm a sponge. Teach me today. Teach away my bad and increase my good. And Lord, just show me your ways. Teach me your path. Lead me in a way that's everlasting. Search my heart. Know my ways. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Show me, Lord. Show me, Lord. Show me, Lord. I'm soil that will be happy to receive fertilizer, pesticide, whatever it takes. Because, Lord, I recognize that your kingdom is life. And I can't live without you. And I can't live without advancing in the kingdom. And I can't live without advancing the kingdom. And I won't let things distract me. I will put them in their proper place. I won't play the blame game, and I won't play the what about me game, and I won't play any game. I will just be soil that produces a harvest from the seed of God. That's what I will do. Because then I'll have life. And then I'll be life, and I'll be light. And then I will have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'll have a hold of God, and I won't want to let Him go. See, too often people are too willing to let God go. And they, you know, they won't say, go away, God. But they'll just let Him go. They'll let the importance of the kingdom go. For sometimes what seemed like, you know, a real good reason in their mind. But what's it doing to them spiritually? You know. Peter said, what sort of people ought we to be? When we consider the times, we ought to be people dwelling in the presence of God, enjoying His benefits, and broadcasting to the world. God is able. God is good. And trusting Him to give the increase, trusting Him to accomplish His perfect will, because we just trust Him. And then we will be walking in the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Amen? Lord God, we all know these things. These aren't new things. They're just things that need to be stirred up in our hearts. Things that we need to take the responsibility for. The responsibility for our soil. Because your seed is always good. And the Son of God is always shining. And there's always more than sufficient rain to produce a harvest. There's always more than enough, right from you. Yes, Lord, I am privileged and honored to be able to share the word. But it's got to be your words. And I pray, Lord, that your words come through and into the hearts of these that you love so very much today. And Lord, that even now, we are removing stones and getting rid of weeds and casting out distractions and preparing ourselves for your great blessings and to be great blessings. And I thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, the worship of